And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With it till 3 on a throwback Thursday, we have plenty to do over the next couple of hours. Coming up, the Big 12 sending a cease and desist letter to ESPN. Why the last couple of weeks further prove why college football needs a commissioner. Plus, the latest wrinkle in name, image, and likeness. Also, should it be the Gamecocks who actually invite Clemson now to the SEC? Later on, we'll look at some NFL teams at the start of training camp. Which ones will boom this year? Which ones will bust? Which teams will be in the market for a quarterback? Or which quarterbacks are playing for their jobs this year? Plus, it's Thursday, so we'll get to our wrestling wrap-up. We'll reminisce along the way. We'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery as well. And a whole lot more over the next couple of hours. And if we're all lucky, we may be also joined by a special guest later on this afternoon as well. Get to all that coming up. You can join the conversation throughout the afternoon, 843-721-9500 to give us a call throughout the afternoon. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. You can get to us on Twitter, at Morrow Middays. You can get to us on Facebook, ESPN Charleston. You can also email the show, studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com. Or head on over to our website, charlestonsportsradio.com, for your one-stop shop. There you can leave a comment for the show by simply clicking on our show page. You can find the latest versions of the show podcasted on our show page, or you can take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. With you till 3 on this Thursday afternoon, Joe's on the steel wheels. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, this Friday Eve is hot, but things are cool. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, we actually have a nice day for once. Well, let's hope the rain stays away. Rained all day yesterday. I walk out this morning. It's beautiful heading into a weekend. We got plenty to do over the next couple of hours. Let me start with this. I found this really interesting and surprising. Right, you see this headline, you're taken aback a little bit. The Big 12 sent a cease and desist letter to ESPN. And the reason being that Bob Bowlsby, commissioner of the Big 12 Conference, believes that ESPN has, quote, been actively engaged in discussions with at least one other conference regarding that conference inducing additional members of the Big 12 Conference to leave the Big 12 Conference. He continues to say, the network is intentionally interfering with our business operations by encouraging other conferences to poach the members of the Big 12 and providing incentives to them to do so, is what Bowlsby said. Now, I'm sure there's been some sort of rhetoric or some sort of memo handed out that at the mothership, they can't really discuss this matter. ESPN spokesperson has denied such a thing. We can discuss it here. And I found this really interesting. And quite frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if it was true. It's something I was talking about yesterday with Texas, where everybody is out for their best interest. And so for ESPN, you may ask, like, why would they care? Why would they want to do this? Well, they have the Big 12 media rights split with Fox Sports. But they have the SEC network. We know that. They'll have the entire SEC soon. So they will benefit from having Texas and Oklahoma leave the Big 12 for the SEC. Fox Sports would take a real hurting. They're the ones with the Big 12 contract. Although, with that said, that contract's supposed to expire as of now, the same time Oklahoma and Texas will leave. So they just simply wouldn't have to renew said deal. The other conference that has been mentioned was the AAC. Now, why? Because, well, ESPN has their TV rights as well. So you'd much rather have, pick any team. Right, I don't know, TCU, West Virginia, whatever teams left in the Big 12, you'd prefer them to move to the AAC and be part of your TV package instead of, well, as of now, Fox Sports or wherever else these other teams may go. Even if they join, say, the Pac-12 instead. It becomes a whole negotiation, and you're battling with other. You want those teams in certain conferences with your TV deals. And the other media partners would like those teams in the conferences with their TV deals. The Pac-12 sees this, or I should say Fox Sports, who has the Pac-12, sees this and, you know, is thinking, well, let's hope that they go over to the Pac-12. That will boost our TV contract. Maybe that'll bring more viewers, bring in more ratings, more money. So I understand why networks would be doing this. I understand why conferences, right? Why Greg Sankey would go behind the back of a Bob Bowlsby and go try to poach their best, greatest assets for his own conference. Right? Because everyone is doing what is best for them. And I talked about this yesterday with Texas. Because we're all guilty of this. At the end of the day, you have to look out for number one. Right? It's especially in this case, these are businesses. It's cutthroat. You have to survive. You can't sit back and, you know, try to help a rival company because they probably wouldn't do the same for you. You can't try to be friends with everybody in business because when someone, one of those friends has an opportunity, they'll probably stab you in the back. So it's almost like be eaten or do the eating. And for the SEC, they've decided to try to do some of that eating, and now it seems like ESPN will try to do the same as well. But everyone is out for their own best interest. And these last couple of weeks are another reminder of something that's never going to happen in college football, but something that should happen. And that's the addition of a commissioner, where you have one voice, one person looking over everything, and everybody is therefore a little more together. You know, we all deal with this in all of our industries. If you work for a sales team at a company, right, like you want everybody to do well in the sales team. But you also, I'm sure, are a competitive person. You want to be number one. You're competing with your fellow salesmen. Yes, you all want to have great sales, but, you know, there's usually some sort of reward for the top salesman or some sort of punishment for the worst salesman. So you're competing with one another. It's like that movie. What was it? Glengarry Ross, whatever it was, with Pacino in the early 90s, where whoever, you know, was the lowest salesman was going to lose his job. It was very competitive. You want everybody to do well because that high tide raises all boats, but you also want to do better than everyone else. Even in this industry, I want everybody around here to do better or to do well. I want all of our radio stations, all of the shows to do well, but you also don't want to be last in the ratings in the building. You don't want to look around and say, like, wow, that, people listen to that show the least. Now, we don't have to worry about that here at the Morrow Midday Show, but you don't want to have that concern. You want everybody in the building to do well, but maybe not to do too well. Or too much, you know, much better than you. You want to be at the top of that line. So same idea. I'm sure Greg Sankey would love all the conferences to be doing well, but he doesn't want them to be doing better than him. He wants to be at the very top of those conferences. And so college football is very much like Major League Baseball was when that league first began. Major League Baseball, when they first started the league, it was very much like college football. There was no commissioner. The reason why Major League Baseball brought a commissioner in was because of the Black Sox scandal. And a lot of people at that time, right, were turned off by baseball. You couldn't watch the games. You couldn't even listen to the games. You could only go to them if they were in your hometown or read about it in the newspaper. And so when the Black Sox scandal happened, right, and across the country, people are reading about it or hearing about it, they lost a lot of faith in the sport. Turned them off. I can't watch baseball anymore. Baseball was being operated at the time by power brokers and also by, you know, kind of the mob, gamblers. That's what led to the whole Black Sox scandal. People believe that wasn't the only World Series that was thrown or influenced because of some mobsters or some gamblers. That's who was running Major League Baseball, and everybody was looking out for their own best interest. The gamblers or mobsters, right, they're trying to find a way to make more money. Some of the players were doing the same thing. That's why they were throwing the World Series. Different teams with different agendas, and they felt at that point, just over 100 years ago, like, we need to bring somebody in to clean this up. We need to bring somebody in with a source of power that is going to run this sport. And everything he says goes, and we all follow the same rules. And, you know, we're in this together. It's a partnership. And so they brought in Kennesaw Mountain Landis, and he saved the sport and turned things around. And we've had a commissioner in baseball ever since for the last 100 years. Things have changed. In college football, it's like Major League Baseball back then. It's being run by power brokers. Not some sort of commissioner, but instead everybody looking out for their own best interest. It'd be like if you walked into an office and there was no boss. right? Everyone's just working for themselves. You may have department heads, but you have no boss to report to. And so the head of the sales department might do something that goes against the head of the marketing department. They do something that makes it harder. They use up more of the budget, say, right? Everybody, you budget out a certain number, a certain amount of money for each department. And let's just say the sales department says, forget that. We're gonna go over budget. And it takes away money from another department. And they're saying, well, why did you make you made our job harder? You just screwed us. But they do it for the betterment of themselves, right? Because there's no boss holding anyone's feet to the fire at this company. Everyone's just working for themselves. They're trying to get ahead. It's the same thing in college sports. Everyone's working for themselves trying to get ahead. That's why they look for this conference realignment. And Greg Sankey is an avid reader, I hear. And he'll even talk about the books he's reading, and he'll tweet about the books he's reading. And it was about 2 years ago that Sankey tweeted about the book he had just finished, about reading about the Premier Soccer League over in Europe. And he tweeted out a cover of the book. And the book, I forget the title of the book, but then the subhead was how they became the most powerful sports league in the world. That's what Sankey was reading 2 years ago. Why? Because he envisioned the same thing for the SEC. They were already the best conference in college football, but how could they become even more powerful? Oh, I know. We'll go steal Texas and Oklahoma and have them come into our conference. Right? The ACC's TV deal still extends for another 15 years. It'd be a little bit harder to get Clemson into the SEC. But with Oklahoma and Texas, their TV deal up in 4 years, and therefore, you know, don't have to pay as much money to leave even earlier than that, you go and try to swipe them. And so why would Sankey be pushing for a 12-team playoff? Why would he, while sitting there with Bob Bowlesby, commissioner of the Big 12, also at the same time be going behind his back to try to poach his best assets, right? Trying to put the Big 12 out of business in the process, maybe unintentionally, but you know when you're going to take those two teams, you know what the dominoes that will fall, right? You know which dominoes are going to fall from that because everyone's just looking out for themselves. In the NFL, teams are always looking out for themselves, right? But you have a commissioner, Roger Goodell, that handles the checks and balances, make sure that some team isn't totally screwing over another team. In fact, that's why commissioners can veto trades. You may remember when Alex Rodriguez was supposed to be traded to the Red Sox, and the commissioner's office vetoed it. Bud Selig did. He didn't want Alex Rodriguez to go to the Red Sox. Why? Because he thought it was kind of unfair. We don't want A-Rod on the Red Sox. Now he ends up with the Yankees, and tell me how that's any better. But he did not like the trade. He thought, the Rangers were getting foisted, and that the Red Sox, we can't have them spending all this money and bringing in Alex Rodriguez. They said no. Just like when the NBA said, no, Chris Paul, you're not going to the Lakers to go play with Kobe Bryant. No, we're not going to let it happen because it's better for the league and everybody involved if it doesn't happen. Just like in college football, if there was a commissioner, he'd probably say, yeah, it's better for the sport if we keep Oklahoma and Texas there and we don't put all of these power schools in the same conference, the SEC, therefore putting essentially the Big 12 out of business. Right? It's like if you were running all of these different companies, if they were all different companies, the Big 12 and the SEC and the ACC, at certain times, sure, you may rob Peter to pay Mary, whatever that saying is, right? You may take from one company to invest in another or take resources from one, put it in another to help them out. But if you own multiple companies, wouldn't it be best if they were all operating at a high level or if they were all doing well? If you were the commissioner of college football, I think you would prefer if all conferences were doing well as well. Instead of, well, we'll just remove the Big 12 and we'll make the SEC even better. Right? Because that's the greed that we're seeing now and the greed that we see in all sports. But in college football, that greed can run wild when nobody's holding you in check. Just like in baseball 100 years, that greed can run wild to the point where a player wants to make more money, so he throws the biggest event of the sport. Right? They'll throw the World Series, an entire team or an entire starting lineup will throw the pinnacle. And they weren't getting paid as much back then, right? It wouldn't happen today because guys are already making millions of dollars. You really have to pay them a lot in order to throw a World Series, especially now that it's on international TV and it'd be talked about. It'd be the biggest story in sports forever. Right? Instead, now we have the opposite. The Astros are cheating to try to win the World Series. Teams wouldn't cheat to try to lose the World Series for more money, so it was different back then. But you get to the point where guys are so greedy because they're not making maybe enough that they would throw the World Series. Similar to today, these different leagues, conferences, commissioners of each conference, or even TV networks who are supposed to be partners. Just like these conferences, theoretically, are supposed to be partners. And it'd be like if you stabbed your business partner in the back. The SEC did that to the Big 12. ESPN's really kind of trying to do that to Fox Sports or even the Big 12. Going behind their back and saying, hey, to these other teams, hey, how about you go join the AAC? I think that'd be really good for you. We'll even sweeten the pot for you if you go and do so. And then you'll play all your games on our networks and don't have to worry about Fox Sports anymore. But this is what happens when you don't have a commissioner. Right? In the NFL, yeah, sure, the negotiations can get tense with TV partners, but not like this, because it all runs through the office. You wouldn't have Fox going behind CBS's sports back to an AFC team saying, like, hey, join the NFC and you can come be on Fox. Couldn't happen. Wouldn't work that way. It's never going to happen in college sports because there's a few people, power brokers, that just have too much power. And now, one of them, Greg Sankey, will only be getting even more power. It will never happen. You'll never relinquish that power to bring somebody in to run college football. And this is kind of an evergreen topic that we've been talking about for years in the sport, with plenty of examples about how college football would be better if there was one voice running the entire sport, a commissioner at the top. Never going to happen. But this is just the latest example of why there should be a commissioner to run college football. Because until then, you'll have everybody fighting for power, stabbing each other in the backs, when really it'd probably be best if they were all working together. Right? If at your company, everybody is stabbing each other in the back to try to get ahead, sure, create a real competitive work environment, but it'd be better for the business, for the company, if everybody was working on the same page and helping one another to get ahead instead of stepping on one another to get ahead. Coming up, what is the latest with Texas and Oklahoma? And plus, the latest wrinkle with the name, image, and likeness. Something that maybe nobody thought about before, but could become a trend. We'll get to that coming up as well. Oh, we also have some River Dogs tickets to give away later on this afternoon as well, so stay tuned for that. It's the Moore Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
It's Throwback Thursday.
What's today?
It's Thursday.
Really? Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
What's the latest on Texas and Oklahoma and their move to the SEC? The SEC's meeting today. The Big 12's meeting tomorrow. We may actually get some sort of answer any minute from now. We'll get to that coming up here at the Moore Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. It is a Throwback Thursday, as you heard from our rejoin. Today is the anniversary. You know, we're going to have our wrestling wrap-up later on. Today's the anniversary of the Jerry Lawler, Andy Kaufman bit.
Yeah, their appearance on the David Letterman show.
Yes. Which I'm trying to bring it up now. I saw it earlier. What was it? I think it was 1982.
That'd be correct. And now their match is a few months earlier.
Uh-huh.
And of course, Andy Kaufman was, you know, wearing the neck brace on the show to, you know, continue selling the injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lawler slaps Andy Kaufman on Late Night with Dave Letterman, July 29th, 1982.
And you can go on YouTube and see that, including the bit is obviously added in to be uncensored.
Ooh. Now, I used to work with somebody, right? Everybody has these stories. Like, oh, yeah, my cousins, boyfriends, neighbors, butchers, husbands, right? But I used to work with somebody whose father grew up across the street from Andy Kaufman in New York. And, you know, like when they were kids. And so he knew him as a kid, and then I don't think they had any contact after he left home, right, after high school or whatever, once he turned 18, and Andy went off onto his career, and this guy went off to his career, and I don't think they were close enough that they were lifelong friends, but they did grow up on that street together and, you know, like, played around in the street growing up, and he said he was always a goofy guy, always joking around and never quite too serious. I always liked Andy Kaufman. He was obviously before my time, but just his story, watching the videos, the movie, Man on the Moon with Jim Carrey. Who Jim Carrey said that role kind of like psyched him out. We always hear about actors playing the role of the Joker. And Jim Carrey said getting into Andy Kaufman's like state of mind was detrimental to his like mental health trying to play Andy Kaufman and really getting into that role, being Andy Kaufman on and off the screen, method acting.
And word has it, he and Jerry Lawler did not get along at all.
Oh. So was there some authenticity to that?
Plus, Lawler had to point out to the people making the movie, when they were doing the scenes, you know, it was supposed to be at the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
They had people in cowboy hats and things like that, you know, and cowboy boots and stuff like that. And he had to point out, he had to point out to, you know, the costume people, you've never been to Memphis, have you?
Mm.
Okay, it seemed to be confusing it with Texas. Mm. Memphis is in Tennessee.
Right.
A little bit different.
Kaufman was great, though, because, right, of course, he never knew what was real and what wasn't real. To the point that when he died, people probably still to this day, but you know, are waiting for him to return. They were thinking it was just fake. And that was not too long after. He died, what, like 1984, not too long after the Jerry Lawler thing. It's been all those years. But he used to speak about faking his own death. So, you know, you kind of give people a reason. So it's kind of sad. As you're dying, right, people aren't believing, oh, this is just your latest bit. It's like in Dumb and Dumber when they put, like, those hot peppers on the guy's sandwich and he's choking and he falls over and they're laughing at him. They think it's all part of it. They don't realize, like, the guy's dying. A little morbid for that comedy. But, you know, they think it's all a joke and they don't help the guy. Similar, like, with Andy Kaufman. Now, he had cancer. There wasn't much you could do. But just the idea of people thinking, like, oh, yeah, no, he's coming back. Don't worry. He'll be back in a couple of years. He's just faking it. This is his latest joke. And then as the years go on, you may realize, like, oh, wait a minute. It wasn't a big joke. It was legitimate, and we didn't really honor him. But Andy Kaufman, today was the anniversary, not of his death, but of his late-night appearance on David Letterman with Jerry Lawler. We'll talk some wrestling later on. Of course, he had also his partner, his like character, Tony Clifton, who made appearances later on, but that was like with his comedy partner, who looked a lot like him, and people thought that was him, and you know, with all these conspiracies, like with Elvis, people still think Elvis is alive. Oh, I saw him. I saw him in Las Vegas, or I saw him in Wyoming last week. People always think that there's some reason to believe that it's accurate. But I don't think it's a prank all these years. And if it was, it's time to kind of end the prank. Right? Just like many people think, like, Tupac is still alive. It's been 25 years. At what point do you reveal that it was all a hoax? Anyways. Circling back to the Big 12, Texas and Oklahoma. We know that it's on the doorstep of them joining the SEC. Now, the SEC is meeting today. They will have their vote today. I have not seen anything just yet, but I imagine we'll get word by the end of the day of the outcome from the meeting from the SEC and get the verdict with Oklahoma and Texas being given the okay to join the SEC. I don't think it's much of a debate at this point. Last week, I didn't think they'd be able to get the votes. After everything I've heard since then, however, by now, I think, yes, they will certainly get the votes. The only one I would be worried about would be Texas A&M voting no. Maybe a Missouri, but I don't think four schools will vote no. That's not the way the reporting is going. The Big 12 then announced they'll have a meeting tomorrow, almost like an emergency meeting, to try to figure out their next step, because they assume that by the end of today, they'll be delivered the news that, yes, Oklahoma and Texas were granted acceptance into the SEC, and that's what they plan to do. And then we'll go from there. We'll figure out when they will actually join the SEC. We'll figure out what's next for the Big 12. But here is Heather Dinich on Get Up on ESPN talking about the latest with all this as we're on the doorstep of this big move in college football.
These two are almost married to the SEC. We're down to the formality of everyone involved saying I do, and you know how important that formality is. So on Thursday, sources have said SEC presidents and chancellors will be meeting. A vote is expected, not guaranteed. Remember, they need 11 of the 14 presidents and chancellors to agree to extend an invitation to Oklahoma and Texas. My sources are saying that they have enough support to do that. And then the final piece of the puzzle, again, a formality, is Oklahoma and Texas saying, yes, we accept that invitation.
All right, and so you're describing these as formalities, assuming they do go as planned. Let's say they do get the votes. What is the timing? We're hearing about 2025. Will it take that long?
I would be surprised, Greeny, if Oklahoma and Texas stay in the Big 12 that long. I mean, relationships are already fractured, and that could be something that they're banking on so that they don't have to pay the $75 to $80 million exit fee to leave early. One source suggested, look, maybe they're hoping that the relationships get so bad, the Big 12 says, get out of here for less money because we're tired of it. So if they leave early, they do have to pay that fee. They have 18 months notice they have to give according to Big 12 bylaws. I can tell you that one source at an SEC school told me they have a lot of legal work to do before they can just walk over to us by next year. But 2022 is a possibility.
Heather Dinich on the latest with Texas and Oklahoma. Trying to pull the old Costanza, right? They want to make things so bad, so awkward that the Big 12 would just kick them out and say, go ahead, just go already. Like when George was trying to get fired by the Yankees. He couldn't quit. He had to get fired in order to take a job with the Mets. And so he's dragging the World Series trophy through the parking lot. He was spilling strawberries on Babe Ruth's old uniform. He tried to go streaking at the game but wore a bodysuit. He was trying to do whatever he could. Told George Steinbrenner he was tired of his macho head games. Right, but still couldn't get fired. That's what Texas and Oklahoma may try to do, because they're going to have to pay $80 million each to leave early, and it makes no sense to stay until 2025. They might as well, at this point, assuming they get the votes today, and we have this official in the next 24 hours, they might as well just go now. Go next year to the SEC. But they don't want to pay, so they're trying to maybe force their way out, make things so annoying that the Big 12 just finally gives in and says, okay, just go ahead. You don't have to worry about it. Or we'll make it easy on you just to get you out of here. You're such a pain, you can pay less. Right? Much like your kids will try to do, they try to wear you down. Right? Can we get ice cream? No. And then, please, pretty, please, please, Mom, can we go get? And eventually you just get, okay, just shut up. I'll take you to go get ice cream. You may not tell your kid to shut up, but that's what you want to say. Right? Eventually they wear you down. They make things so annoying for you, you give in just to end the annoyance. Maybe that's what Texas and Oklahoma tries to do. But I imagine, as Heather reported there, they'll get the votes today. And I think we won't have to wait till 2025. It just doesn't make sense to. I said it earlier this week, right? If you separate from your spouse, why still live in the same house and try to live your separate lives together? You know what's coming. You're both going your separate ways. Maybe one of you is already seeing a new person. Now move out of the house. Wait until the divorce goes final. But, you know, you could go live on your own somewhere else. Stop trying to make it work in the meantime or being part of each other's lives, just like Texas and Oklahoma. We know it's coming. The divorce is coming. Just go your separate ways as soon as you can instead of trying to make this work in the meantime. But the SEC, they are meeting today. We expect a vote. And if we get the news, official news here while we're still on the air, of course, we'll pass it along to see if it becomes official today, the Oklahoma and Texas move to the SEC. May still not happen until 2025, but we could know by the end of today, yep, it is at least going to happen. When? We'll see. But it's going to happen. Coming up, the latest wrinkle in name, image, and likeness that I don't know if people saw coming. It could really change things moving forward. We'll get to that next. It's the More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Yo, what up?
What's the word, big fella? Everything's good on this end.
Hey, Luke, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Luke. Hey, man. Pleasure to be on your show.
Great show. You did a good job.
You're turning into rapidly my favorite person I've interviewed with, and I've done like 50 of these in the last week.
You've done your homework. I like it. I absolutely like it. I love that.
Another great thought.
You've done your homework, haven't you? Good job.
You're always getting these big stars and important people on. That's great to hear, and we like to hear the interviews.
You know, it's uncanny how you do this, Luke, and I don't know how you do, because I do this gauntlet of radio on Thursdays where I do all these different cities. Many of them need their hosts to have me give them some talking points. You hit all my talking points every week. It's uncanny how good you are.
Always great talking football with you, Luke. Appreciate you guys being right.
Very impressive.
Shout out to all the people in Charleston that support the show.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Go ahead, boy. That's how you bring it on.
Is this a sports show or a dancing show?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what we're doing around here.
Lunch with Luke for 3 hours, anything goes.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Everywhere I hear the sound of marching, charge, speed, though.
the Mar Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, a new wrinkle to name, image, and likeness that I don't think people saw coming, but could really change things in college football moving forward. Get to that coming up. We were talking last segment about Andy Kaufman and his whole dispute with Jerry Lawler. They appeared on David Letterman on this day back in 1982 here on a Throwback Thursday. Plus, we have our wrestling wrap-up coming up. Many people believe he faked his own death when he passed away in 1984. So I was reading about this during the commercial break. His own website says that the fake death story is an urban legend, and they include on his website a picture of his death certificate. Now, skeptics would say, well, how do we know it's a real death certificate? In 2013, a woman that claimed to be his daughter said that he was still alive. I don't know if they ever confirmed that she was actually his daughter or not. At that point, Los Angeles' county coroner's office released his death certificate once again to confirm that he is, in fact, actually dead. But then a year later, in 2014, Andy Kaufman's girlfriend, at the time of his death, wrote a book and said in the book that his death was indeed a prank, and that he would soon be revealing himself, as his limit on pranks was always 30 years. This book came out 30 years after his supposed, depending on who you talk to, death, and yet he still, now at this point, 7 years later, has not returned or reappeared. Very odd, though, that people that were in his life, I don't know if they're just, if this is what Andy Kaufman wanted, like, continue this bit, make people think that I am pulling one final joke. I don't know why people, a woman claiming to be his daughter and the person that he was dating at the time that he passed away, why they're still going along with this, pushing along this narrative. Very odd.
Then, of course, at the end of the movie, supposedly a year after his death, somebody is doing his Tony Clifton character in front of an audience at a club.
Right.
So kind of trying to fuel that speculation. Yes. Is he or isn't he gone?
Yes, and I guess there's been a few appearances. Jim Carrey said that those appearances where Bob Zemuda, his comedy partner, his friend, but who knows? That's what Jim Carrey said. But yes, Tony Clifton has shown up at comedy clubs over the years, and that's why people believe that this is all one big hoax. Do you think Andy Kaufman is still alive, Joe?
I think he's gone.
Do you think Elvis Presley's still alive?
No, I don't.
Do you think, people think Jim Morrison is still alive?
I don't buy that.
What about Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, do you think
he's, or is he Mr. Jefferson?
Do you think he's still alive?
No, or is he Mr. Jefferson?
Mr. Jefferson.
Oh, you don't watch South Park much, do you?
No.
Okay. Yeah, there was an episode where he moved to South Park, put a mustache on himself, and he was Mr. Jefferson.
Hey, maybe it's a real story.
No, I think he's gone as well.
Is there any celebrity who we believe has passed away that you think is still alive?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
There's a few, you know, conspiracy theories, I think people fake their deaths, but, you know, have died since then.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. People think, like, Jimmy, all right, because no one could ever find the body, Jimmy Hoffa. I'm looking at a list here. People think Kurt Cobain, apparently, is still alive. I don't know why.
If they're still alive, how are they making a living?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, you know, some guys, the idea, right, they made enough money that they can still live off of the money they made in hiding. Right, like a Michael Jackson, he would be fine. Go live somewhere, almost like you're in a witness protection program, and live off of the money you've made. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Let's go to the phone. Super Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
The only way Elvis is still alive is through a legacy he left in his movies and all that. That'll be August 16th, 1977.
So you don't buy the conspiracy theories that he's been alive this whole time?
Nah. He's according to the, I read his orbit, and they claimed that it was a heart attack. But actually, when the news came out, it was suicide over Priscilla. So that's what I heard way back in the day.
Do you remember where you were when you heard that Elvis passed away?
I was actually watching the rerun of his concert that was in Hawaii.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, they were showing that.
Oh, okay.
So they were showing him coming in, and, you know, the girls kiss you when you get on the strip, and then they give you whatever they call those rose things over your neck and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
What was your favorite Elvis movie?
It's always with the one with what's her name. Oh, doggone it. I can't remember her name. She was a cutie. Pam something.
You don't remember the movie?
Something about racing.
Oh.
But naturally, you got the girl at the end. You got
Pam,
whatever, but Raceway or racing or some kind of deal about racing.
Was it Speedway? You
know? Speedway. There you go. That was
that
it.
That was your favorite Elvis movie.
Yeah, because okay. I was always had a crush on that girl, you know, was able to do the Watusi back in the day.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
That was the kind of music he had, Watusi music.
Yeah.
You know, Batman type music.
Right.
The Go Go Strip stuff. You don't have that no more.
Dave from Georgetown actually called in and said that it was Nancy Sinatra.
Oh, Nancy Sinatra.
No, it wasn't Nancy, not on Speedway. It was,
We have a debate.
I can't remember her name right now, but I'll find out, let you know at a later date. Let's joke and look up Speedway or Elvis.
Oh, okay.
He always starred with her.
Well.
And I know the girl, I just can't think of her name right now. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Dave, was it Speedway or Spin Out?
Could be Spin Out.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, Nancy Sinatra was in Speedway. Spin Out was somebody else, a Shelley, or maybe a Diane.
And if you're talking about Shelley Fabares, she was also the girlfriend and wife in the TV show Coach.
Oh, so maybe it was Shelley Fabares from Elvis's movies back in the day. So the latest with name, image, and likeness is that we have a quarterback who is going to forego his senior year of high school in order to go to college early, because then he could start making money. So we have to get into this coming up, because this is an interesting wrinkle that at least I didn't think of. I didn't hear anyone else mention this. But now it could play a big role in recruiting and the future of college football. Early enrollees, kids ditching, if they're good enough, right? Not every kid can pull this off, of course, but if you're good enough, if you're an Arch Manning, why play your senior year of high school? You can go on to college and start earning money right away. So we have to get into this coming up, plus the Atlanta Braves are playing maybe the biggest game of their season right now.
Okay, a couple of callers said that they're thinking it's probably Ann Margaret.
Ann Margaret?
Or they're thinking of. And I have to stand corrected. The actress's name is Shelley Fabare.
Oh, Fabare, excuse me. It's like I grew up with a family, their last name was DeRogers, but they said, oh, no, it's pronounced DeRoche. Oh, okay.
I've also heard Rozier, as in Mike Rozier, who won the Heisman Trophy playing for Nebraska in the early 80s.
It's like the movie Corky Romano, which I loved back in the day, right? Passant? It's got a little bit of French to it. It's pronounced Passant. Yeah, okay, whatever you say. So wait, what do they say? Who is the actress?
Ann Margaret.
Ann Margaret. But what movie was that? Was she in Spin Out, whatever it was? Ann Margaret. Because I don't see her here in the credits, so I don't know what movie. We got all sorts of confusion going on around the Elvis movies. All right, we got to take a break and we'll come back, figure out the Ann Margaret fiasco on a Throwback Thursday. Plus, the Braves may be playing the biggest game of their season right now. Get to that coming up. And we'll circle back to the name, image, and likeness stuff as well. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Got into a whole thing about Elvis co-stars somehow. This is sung by one of them?
Yeah, Shelley Fabare.
How about that?
She was a singer and one-hit wonder herself. And she also was the daughter on the Donna Reed Show. That's how she got her start.
Oh, very good. I also got a message about Ann Margaret, so I guess that's who Super Dave was thinking of. As the favorite co-star from Elvis's movies here on a Throwback Thursday. The Atlanta Braves are playing right now with the New York Mets. No score in the second inning in what could be the biggest, the most important game of the year. And it sounds hyperbolic, and we've said this maybe a lot along the way, but you have to at least win this series against the Mets. I thought yesterday was a big letdown to lose like that in the ninth inning and allow them a chance to win the series. But we'll circle back to the Braves in just a moment. Now we have an important guest joining us. New head coach of the Gamecocks, Shane Beamer, is with us. Coach, good afternoon. How are you? Coach, can you hear us?
Hello. Yes, you there?
Yeah, we got you. How you doing?
Okay, good. Sorry about that. I'm doing great. Hope you guys are.
Yeah, appreciate the time. Joe, if we could do some producing on air, can we try to push that break back so we get some extra time here with Coach at the top of the hour? Coach, appreciate you joining us. You've been on the job here for about 8 months now as the new head man with the Gamecocks. How have things been going so far?
It's been a lot of fun. It's been super busy, obviously, but a lot that we had to get done, and we've really attacked every single day, and been a blast. Been some bumps in the road, no doubt about it, but we got some fantastic young men in the program, fantastic people in the program, and couldn't be more excited about where we are right now, where we're going, and starting practice next week.
You guys have really hit the recruiting trail very hard this summer and have got a lot of commits here along the way. How important or how even just promising has it been recruiting for you guys the last couple of weeks and months?
Yeah, it's been awesome. When everything opened up on June 1st to allow prospects to visit, it was full speed, and we didn't slow down to the end of the month. But couldn't have gone better. 12 commitments since June 1st, and to be able to get take the recruiting part out of it, just to be able to get people in our building and visit with people face to face and not over a computer screen was awesome. To be able to do that for an entire month, but then to be able to bring them to such a special city like Columbia, let them see such a special university that we have here at Carolina, and then to see the amazing athletic facilities we have here was great. And then to be able to let them meet the people in our program, the people in our program to visit with those people, it was an awesome month. We've got another big day Saturday coming up with a lot of recruits that'll be on campus, and we're taking advantage of every day the NCAA allows us to.
Able to catch up with you today because I know the Welcome Home Tour stops off here in Charleston tonight. What does it mean for you on a personal level to be able to reconnect here with Charleston?
Oh, it's great. Fantastic that we've been able to get out on the road and do this Welcome Home Tour. We were in Charlotte last night. We were in Aiken before that. We were in Columbia. So to be able to get out this week's great. But this is the last one tonight, and hopefully we save the best for last. To be able to come to Charleston, a place that I absolutely love, place where I was born, and to be down there in such a beautiful, beautiful town and around so many great Gamecocks tonight. I'm really looking forward to getting down there in a little bit.
Coach, of course, the biggest story in regards to the SEC is Oklahoma, Texas. You came from Oklahoma. What just are your thoughts if Oklahoma and Texas were to join the SEC at some point in the future? What do you think of this potential expansion?
Yeah, there's a lot to it, without a doubt. The SEC, we already have the greatest conference in the country already. And if that ends up happening, which it sounds like it is, it only got stronger. And, it's not my decision to make. There's obviously a lot of people. We've got an amazing commissioner in Craig Sankey and a lot of people above me that are making those decisions. And we trust that those people are making those decisions and for what's best for the SEC and what's best for college football. But it'll be interesting. I mean, just from a competitive standpoint and all that, we'll play, who they tell us to play, when they tell us to play them, and excited about making the best conference in the country even stronger. And we tell recruits all the time that this is the best league in America, and people want to play in this league. The NFL, they have a special eye on the SEC because of the amount of talent in this conference, and I think it's evident when you have two premier programs like Oklahoma and Texas wanting to join this conference. I think that speaks volumes.
Coach, before we let you go, we're short on time, but what are you looking forward to most when the season begins and you're the head coach of this Gamecock team on the sideline come September? What are you looking forward to most for this upcoming year?
Just competing. That's why we coach, is the young men that we have in our program and to be around them and interact with them. So we've got the greatest fans in the world. Cannot wait to stand in that tunnel and run out to 2001 on September 4th and just really looking forward to competing and seeing the players on our team have some fun and have some joy because they certainly deserve it.
He's Coach Shane Beamer, new head coach of the Gamecocks. Coach, wish we had more time, but appreciate you joining us and have fun here in the Lowcountry tonight.
You bet. Looking forward to it and hope to be on again soon. Take care. Go Gamecocks.
Pleasure's all ours. Appreciate it. Coach Beamer taking some time out to join us before tonight's date on the Welcome Home Tour here right here in Charleston. Appreciate him joining us and being able to fit that in. We'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery coming up as well. Hour 2 next.